Christ is risen.
He is,
and it's great to be able to say that. Are you acceptable is our theme today, is our title today. Our text is Acts 10, 34 to 43. This is Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. That's what we're celebrating here. We heard in the scripture reading today the account of Jesus, the day of resurrection. It wasn't actually, we didn't hear about his resurrection itself. That happened when nobody was particularly watching. But we have the details of the empty tomb and the women coming to the tomb and finding it empty and finding the evidence that Jesus had risen again. Nobody actually saw him do it in that very moment, but we saw they saw the evidence and they met him later on. Today our text is from the book of Acts. It's sometime after those events, maybe 5 to 10 years. We're really not sure of the chronology of all of this, but during this time, the news about what Jesus had done, about his life, about his death and resurrection, all of these things had been spreading around the countryside, in particular Judea and Galilee, those places that were the home area for the Jews that Jesus was one of. And so they were hearing this news of Jesus that was their Savior. But now we find something different in our text today. We find Peter, one of Jesus' followers, one of those who saw the empty tomb, who saw also Jesus alive. We find him sharing this good news with Cornelius, who was not Jewish, but who was one who had found the true God within that worship of him that was found among the Jewish people. And so he was one who worshiped God in that way. The understanding of Peter and the others in his day, the Jewish people, was that they were descendants of Abraham, they were descendants of Israel, they were God's chosen people, they were given a land to live in, and this nation would be the source of the Savior of the world. They were given a place to worship God. They had a temple that God had designed as a place to worship Him. In one sense, you might say this was very exclusive. They didn't mix with others. Others could join, so there was a way for others to join in the worship of God, but it was a very difficult process. You would have to follow many different rules to become a part of the Jewish people, all of the rules that they followed. And in fact, it took several generations for a family to be totally incorporated into God's people. But now, as Peter is finding out, and we'll see in what he says, the message of Jesus is going out to them as well. Peter is one of the first who is taking it there. And maybe you might say the first one who is officially taking the message of the good news of Jesus to people who are not joining in to the Jewish nation. And the good news is being spread to them as well. For the people of God, following the true God meant being acceptable. For them at the time, it meant being Jewish. If you were born that way, great, or converting to it. But there's a question, an important question that is addressed here today, that is addressed for us as well. Are you acceptable? Am I acceptable to God? Are you acceptable to God to be in His family, to be in His kingdom? Whether that's, you know, the question of the day for them was for Jews, for non-Jews, for us. It's for everyone. And Peter finds out here, as he is crossing some barriers that he would not have dreamt on his own to cross, to people that were different than he was, he finds some things that were different than he expected. Leading up to our text today, Cornelius and Peter both had visions. One of them, Cornelius, had a vision to go send for somebody named Peter. And Peter had a vision that explained to him that without questioning it, he should go with the people who were sent to call him to go with them. He was going to a place that he would not go on his own, but God was saying, go with them and take the good news. He was meant to be there, even though it was against the rules that he would normally follow. And that teaches him something. And that's what he shares with us as he was sharing with Cornelius and his family that day. Our text comes from Acts 10, 34 to 43. I will invite you to stand as you are able as I read that this morning. Acts 10, 34 to 43, reading in Jesus' name. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize How true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears Him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with Him. We are witnesses of everything He did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed Him by hanging Him on a cross, but God raised Him from the dead on the third day and caused Him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with Him after He rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that He is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about Him that everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins through His name. Father, we thank You for this word to us. We thank You for Peter's proclamation that day long ago. We thank You that His words that he stated are words for us too, words of hope and assurance through what Jesus did and how that applies to us. We ask that You would guide us this time as we consider these words. In Jesus' name, amen. I've asked for a couple volunteers. I'm going to have the kids come up, but it's a little bit different today. I've asked for a couple volunteers to come to the front on the sides here. And kids, I'm going to invite you to come up to the front, but they have a question for you that you need to answer as you come up before. Now, it's a very simple question. I'm going to give you a hint. The answer is simply yes. Okay? You can come up. And parents, I just want to let you know that they're not committing to anything that you would object to either as they're answering that question. So come on up, kids. Was that an easy question?
Yeah.
All right, come on up. All right. Yeah, that's fine. Okay. All right. Everybody got finding a spot here? Thanks, guys, for helping me out with that. Okay. All right. Can anybody tell me what was the question? Do you have a spot? All right, let's see. Is there room? Maybe we can squeeze over a little bit and make a little room here. Oh, you got a spot there on the floor? Okay, that's great. Hey, do you want to come over here? There's a spot over here, too. You want to come right here? Here we go. There's a spot. All right. That's good? Does that work? Okay. Hey, guys, what was the question? What was the question that you got asked as you came up to the front? Who can tell me? You remember it? What did they ask you?
Does God love you?
Does God love you? Yeah, is that what you guys... Does Jesus love you? Yeah? Was that an easy question to answer? Yeah, you could just say yes, right? So I had them on the sides. I asked them to say, okay, I want you to ask this question, and if they answer, then you can come up. And the reality is that, if you were, maybe you were a little bit afraid to talk and answer, and, you know, that's okay, because does Jesus love you? Yeah, He does. And so we just said, if this is a kid that Jesus loves, they can come up to the front, right? Were you guys allowed to come up to the front then?
Yeah.
Is there anybody here that Jesus does not love and so they were not allowed to come up to the front? No, that was pretty easy for you guys to come up to the front, right? And what we're thinking about today is what makes us acceptable to be with God. For example, we might think of what happens when we die. Will we go to heaven? Do we get to go to heaven? It's very simple, something just as simple, really, as answering the question, does Jesus love you? Yes. It's really something pretty much as simple as that. There might be a few more details that we pay attention to, but it's really something really as simple as that that makes us acceptable to be with God. And that's what we're thinking about this morning. That's what I want you to be thinking about as you're listening as we go on a little bit here today. So, would you like to hand some of those out? Yeah. Could you hand a few out for us? Thanks for coming up, guys. You can have one of these. And here we go. We'll do these ones for today. Yes, you may. Okay. Let's make sure. Thanks for coming up, guys. Jesus loves you. You guys can go back to your seats now. Thank you. Yeah, I got another one here. Anybody want another one? I got one. Okay. Maybe I'll start coloring and circling things as I'm going here. All right. Thanks for coming up. Okay. Well, obviously it was not very difficult for the kids to be acceptable, to be up at the front here, right? We made it pretty easy for them. They got to be up the front. Maybe you have experiences where it's a little bit harder to be acceptable, to be in a certain place than that. You know, places that we might go where you need to be acceptable. If you're, let's say you're going on to a military base, you need certain permission. You need identification. You need certain permission to be on that military base. If you're traveling to another country, you need universally now, you need a passport to travel to another country. You might need a visa ahead of time to get there. You might get that as you get there. It depends on the country. If you're going into an event, you might have a ticket that allows you and makes you acceptable to be in there. You know, you just have to have that ticket, and nothing else maybe is required of you, but you have to have that. If you go to a club, you might be a part of a club that has a membership, and you need to be a part of that. There are other places that might have certain attire that is required to get into a place. You need to have a certain appearance to be acceptable to go in. I was at one golf course one time in Montana where there was a sign, actually it was the sign in the men's restroom, I believe, that said that it was required that all golfers have a shirt that has either sleeves or a collar to be out on the golf course. And I thought, now, I'm not aware of all of the fashions and styles, so maybe you guys can think of something that I'm not thinking of, but I thought, sleeves without a collar, okay, a collar without sleeves. Now, maybe there are some women's styles that have that, but this was in the men's restroom, and I was just imagining somebody with jeans and a cowboy hat. I mean, we're in Montana, right? Jeans and a cowboy hat and a shirt with no sleeves and a collar. I don't know. I just wasn't picturing. Maybe some of you know a style that would fit in, but I don't know. I was not imagining that very well. But that was the requirement. Fortunately, I had sleeves, at least. Might have had a collar, so I was acceptable to go out on the course. I'll pause here a little bit and let you get past that, whatever you're imagining that, yeah. There we go. Okay, we got a moment to get past that. Okay. Well, what about heaven? What about heaven? Let's just make a jump right to that. What about heaven? What about being in God's kingdom? In fact, we could even say being in God's kingdom, in God's family right here on earth, even before we may meet death and face the afterlife. What requirements are there? Are there requirements for somebody to be acceptable? Is there a standard? Peter and the other Jews of his day thought that by being Jewish, they were acceptable. That's what they made them acceptable. That if somebody wanted to be a part of that, they could convert to their laws, convert to their rules, or then being born that way, of course, would be the best option of all. He had a message, and the others with him that had been with Jesus, they had a message to tell about Jesus. And they were telling others of their own people, other Jews. They were telling the message to them, and many were coming to believe in Jesus, to trust in him for forgiveness of their sin and rebellion, and for eternal life. What would we say today would make somebody acceptable? We probably would have a different standard than what they had. Is there a standard that would make someone acceptable, that would make us acceptable to God? Is there an inside group that you need to be a part of to be acceptable to God? Is there a particular nation that you could be a part of that would make you acceptable to God? Is there a particular ethnicity that you could be a part of to be acceptable? Is there a particular culture or religion? And as you think about this, you might think, all right, yes, I have an answer to that question. There is something that would make me acceptable, and I'm a part of it. I am acceptable. You might say, well, there's at least something that other people say you need to be acceptable, and you might think, no, I'm not really necessarily a part of that. Do I agree that that's what it requires to be acceptable? Am I a part of it? You might be in that area, too, in your thinking, that you may or may not feel like you're part of what makes somebody acceptable to God. As we think about this, we want to consider what makes us acceptable. What can make us acceptable to Him? Peter has a message for this group that he's gone to visit. This group of people that worship God, have discovered the true God, but are not Jewish, and so are not, you know, automatically a part of what they think is the club they need to be a part of. And Peter has a message for them that he's really just discovering himself. And it's a message for us too. Peter began to speak, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears Him and does what is right." The criteria, in one sense, is much simpler than Peter thought. No favoritism. In other words, people did not need to join the ethnic people group that Peter was a part of in order to be acceptable to God. But there were people acceptable from every nation, every group, every background. So the criteria, in one sense, is much simpler than Peter thought. There still are some criteria that he says here, though. Fears God and does what is right. The person who fears God and does what is right. Now, that seems to be some criteria, and it also sounds a little bit exclusive as well, right? And it kind of is. It might also sound difficult as we hear it that way, the way Peter starts out with it. Fears God? You might ask the question, what does that mean? Does that mean afraid of God? Does that mean, you know, cowers and submits because, well, there's no other choice? Is that what that's talking about? And then it says, when he says the one who does what is right, what does he mean by that? Does that mean living a perfect life? To what degree does a person need to be one who does what is right in order to be acceptable? Well, Peter comes back to this a little bit later in the end of what we hear him saying today. But first, before he gets to all of that, he tells the message about Jesus that he has. The people he's speaking to know about God. They know the message of the prophets from older times, from the Old Testament, as we call it, that we're talking about the coming of a Messiah. They know about these things, and they have heard about the working of Jesus, the things that Jesus did during his life. It's been several years. They've been hearing these things. And so Peter says, you know the message God sent to the people of Israel. First, what was written already, but then also announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Peace. Sounds like a very good thing, doesn't it? So Peter tells just a little summary of who Jesus is and what that means for us, who he is and what he did. It's the Messiah. He's the Savior who was promised from long ago. That's Jesus Christ. And a little bit about him and what he proved to be. He says, you know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. Now, these are the things that we read about. Of course, they were hearing it from people that were spreading the news. Sometimes they might have heard it from somebody that was there, or they might have heard it from second or third hand from people sending out the word. Hey, tell everybody about this guy. We read it in the four Gospels, as we call them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you know, you might be very familiar with all of those. You may be familiar with them some. If you're not familiar, read one of them. Just read through it and see what are the things that it says about all of the things that Jesus did in Judea and Galilee. Peter does a little summary of that as well. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and when he went, and how he went around doing good things, being generous, teaching how to be generous, how to be kind, how to be compassionate, how to be peace-loving, and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Jesus was curing diseases. He was casting out demons. He was healing people, and he even brought a few people back from the dead. All of these things were happening. All the good that he did, the healing, those under the power of the devil. And then Peter says, we are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. Peter was one of those. And the others that were followers of Jesus also saw. And they confirm that Jesus did all of this. So in essence, he's saying, these stories that you've heard, they are true. You can believe them. Peter and the others confirmed all of this. But more than just those good things that he did in his life. Two very important details, and really part of the same event. And the reason that we're here, you know, that we gather every Sunday, but especially on this Easter Sunday morning. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. It's a very brief summary of all that happened in that weekend. But it's the key part of what Jesus did. His life showed who he was, but his death and then his resurrection accomplished his purposes on earth as he took the penalty for our sin and rebellion. And then as he rose again, alive, victorious over death, bringing life to people. He was not seen by all the people, Peter says. So unless we think it's unfair, maybe, that we don't get to see all of this in person, even the people of Jesus' day didn't all see it in person, right? But by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Not just saw him, but they ate and drank food with him. They shared meals, evidence that he was not a ghost. He was really alive again with a new body. Now, it might be nice to see all of these things for ourselves, to be eyewitnesses ourselves. Only a few got to be eyewitnesses, but they pass on the wonderful message to us. And they have a message to tell, and so they do, and it's passed on. And Peter says that too. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. Well, that preaching, that message, those are still the same things that we have with us today. And now we get to these words again, judge of living and the dead. Now, those may be some words that don't make us quite as happy as some of the others, right? Judge of the living, how will he judge? That might make us a little nervous. What is the standard by which he's judging? Will you pass the test? Will you be acceptable? Are you acceptable? Well, Peter answers that question too here. He says that it's really, this is a simple message to pass on of how you can be acceptable to God. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Sometimes we see things recorded in the life of Jesus where the author writing it down says, this is something that was prophesied in the Old Testament, and here it is. Jesus is doing exactly what was prophesied, and we see the fulfillment of that. Details happened as they were predicted. But this, as Peter talks about it here, is really more broad and general. It's not a specific prophecy that he's referring to. He's just saying that the whole thing, all of what the prophets were writing in the past was all about this. Not everything we thought it was about, of following all the rules and doing the worship at the temple and doing the sacrifices. It wasn't all about that. It was all about this. This is the message of the Bible. Those who wrote before and those who wrote after. Everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Through his name simply means by what he has done. Taking our punishment, rising again in victory over death. Everyone who believes are those who hear and trust rather than rejecting. Does Jesus love you? As the kids were asked as they came up. Yes. Yes. Being able to answer yes, he does. Has he died for me? Yes. Did he rise again in victory over death for me? Yes, receiving forgiveness of sins and becoming acceptable. Are you acceptable? It's rather simple to be acceptable. Believe and receive what Jesus has done for you. I kind of like to envision it as not just having sleeves or a collar, but having sleeves and a collar, both of them, guaranteed. The full outfit, right? Fully acceptable to God. And what about what Peter said at the beginning? Those who fear God, the one who fears God and does what is right. Well, this is simply living in the reality of acknowledging who God is, our Creator, and the one who is judge, acknowledging that we are under Him and His authority, And also living in the reality of what Jesus did. The reality of his resurrection is as simple as that. That is the one who fears God and does what is right. That's why we get together regularly to live in that reality. That's why we get together here, especially Easter Sunday morning, to celebrate that reality. The invitation is there for you. God does not show favoritism, but the invitation is there for you to believe, to trust, to be acceptable to him. Whether you count yourself already a part of that group that is acceptable, or whether you don't find yourself there yet, the message is for you. Be a part of it. Receive him. Trust in him. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this preaching of Peter as you sent him to spread the news with a message that was for all of us. That it wasn't just those that were around that area in Jerusalem and then in that country, but it was for the whole world. For anyone, without favoritism, anyone can believe and trust in you and receive forgiveness of sins. We thank you that you raised Jesus from the dead and gave us victory over death as well, that we can be acceptable. Help us to trust in that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.